I'd like to call to order the November 28, 2018, meeting and hearing on the 2019 budget. And if everyone would please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, I'd appreciate it. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the
United States of America, and to their republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do you want me to please have the roll call? Here. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been a policy of the township to take record of all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. Jill, are you going to initiate the overview?
Yes.
You have the floor.
Okay, so I'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's budget hearing, which I think is probably the latest budget hearing that we have ever held here in Mary Township. But I wanted to really thank you for your patience and for your involvement over the last 4 weeks in this process. Really appreciate it. The board's been provided with the 2019 budget draft in its entirety. This evening, I want to provide you with an overview of the anticipated expenditures and options for balancing the budget for the township's fund. Although the presentation tonight is on the 2019 budget, this year's budget process included strategizing for long-term planning. 2019 budget continues to provide the high standard of services and public safety to the citizens of Perry Township. Public Financial Management was brought in as a consultant in 2017 to assist the township with planning for the future. A model which PFM provided enables the township to enter projected revenue and expenditures for a five-year period to provide a clear understanding of how changes affect our overall budget. The model was utilized to consider funding options for the current and future capital projects. We continue to work with PFM and depend on their expertise for guidance. This is the general fund revenue overview. It lists all of our tax revenue sources. There's a comparison between 2018 and 2019 and the changes, and just to show that the earned income tax is our highest revenue producer in the general fund. And we anticipated a 4% increase in the earned income tax, and generally that's for the development downtown for the most part. And that would also include the occupation tax and the local service tax. Licenses and permits increased 22%, and that is based on an anticipated higher number of building permits issued for Hershey Park and the West End project. Real estate tax, we increased slightly because of the first phase of the West End project. And those are pretty much the highlights for the revenue. Our general fund expenses are $18,098,336,000, which was a $207,669,000 increase, or 1.16%. Our personnel costs increased this year 2%, or $213,124,000. The main reason that was only 2% was because the recreation center won't be open all year. The wage increases for this year were 2.5% for the police unions, the AFSCME union, and the management employees. And you can see from in the past, this actually is a little bit of a reduction from previous years. On our health insurance, there was a 1.9% increase in our administrative fees. We've been self-insured since 1995 with Pennsylvania Municipal Health Insurance Cooperative. We expect a slight savings this year in the cost of natural gas. We had done some comparative pricing last year and expect to see about a $20,000 savings. That would include partially this year too, though, so we won't see the full $20,000 in 2018. These are the requests for the general fund budget. We didn't have a lot of big requests this year. We plan to put in another screen in this room next year. try to put one on this side so that people on the other side of the room can see that. We're not positive yet whether it will be a projector screen like this or if we're going to do more of a television that kind of connects into the laptop. But we've budgeted for that. Our generator outside this building has been reported to have some safety issues when it's wet and using a ladder and there's gravel and it's uneven. So in an attempt to eliminate that safety risk, we've budgeted to put a platform around there, around the outside, so that when it's, you know, there's maintenance being done on it, the employees have that stability. And we actually received a $1,000 grant from our workers' compensation insurance to assist with that. We have some repairs to this building maintenance for the RTU units for $4,000. And I don't know if anybody's noticed, but the round seals in front of all three buildings are very faded from the sun, so we'd like to get those redone next year. Parks and Recreation will operate January through March. Their budget was reduced $429,641, approximately 3%. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the exciting news with the community center. It's an exciting time to plan for this, and the decision to undertake the capital project is always weighed heavily as the board balances the needs of the community with the township's ability to provide the amenities. The board strongly believes the new community center will be much more than a recreation center. The community's involvement and vision and passion for the center will create a place for everyone to enjoy for their physical and mental wellness, and will strengthen the bond in our community to enhance the lives of our residents. We have an opportunity to provide a place where every resident will want to be, and we are challenging ourselves to create programs for everyone, even those who don't think that they will have a reason to go to the recreation. When we think back to the recreational opportunities that were available to us as children compared to what we have now, it's a world of difference, and as government, we want to provide for our future generations. Moving on to the capital budget. So the capital improvement fund expenditures in 2019 totaled $3,115,904. The capital budget this year was a little bigger than it was in the past, so I'm going to go through all of the items that make up the capital budget. Every year we budget for our debt service, and that's the amount to be paid in principal and interest on the township's debt. Budget in 2019 is $2,162,120. It's important to point out this year that new in this budget is for the community center. The debt service for next year is only paid on the interest, and it's $302,113. The township pays administrative fees to the Industrial Commercial Development Authority, and that is for administering the bond that pays for this complex. We pay a lease on the land for this to the municipal authority until it's paid off, and we will own it, but that's $24,000 a year. We also pay on leases and equipment. We're currently making lease payments on 29 vehicles, and that amount is $347,472. We've included the streetscape project for $80,000. And new this year was the need for software. And this is where the budget went up a little bit more, because these aren't everyday needs. It's been a long, long time since we purchased the accounting software. We had purchased that in 1995, and it's no longer supported. And it really doesn't do all the things that the new software can allow us to do, which will make us more efficient and save money and time in the future. So we have looked at one particular software that's proposed to cost $80,000, and it will be for accounts payable and payroll. And people will be able to submit purchase orders online, look at vacation balances, timesheets. It has a lot of benefits to it. The other software that we're needing is with the police department. Their records management system was implemented several years ago and recommended by Dauphin County, but it's not performing the way that it was expected to work. It's taking a lot of time. They're losing records. So they have looked at another system, the Cody Records Management System, and the cost of that is $78,000. The remaining software need is for GIS, and that is an upgrade.
Permitting software as well.
And permitting software. I did put some items in blue font here, and that is just to show you that when we propose ways to pay for the capital expenses, these are items that may be financed. And we're looking at longer term purchases, things that we'll have for quite a long time. The police are in need of four new radios for $24,325,000, two in-car video systems for $13,107,000, and two smart tablets, three total $46,872. The department leased two new primary patrol cars as planned in the fleet schedule that they have. And I might add that we do have a five-year capital plan where the departments look ahead and anticipate what their needs are going to be. Public works vehicles and equipment lease total $186,111. They will replace two lease pickers at a cost of $124,516. This amount was reduced by $114,613 from a grant that was received. And they will be looking to purchase and replace a 20-year-old dump truck that is in their first line of snowplow vehicles. And this would be a lease to own for 5 years, $40,844 a year. Their items that Public Works needs is a 48-inch walk-behind mower. And this also replaces an older piece of equipment that's 15 years old, and an Airmark mower will replace another 11-year-old mower. The police, they're hard on their carpeting 24 hours a day, so they have budgeted $14,246,000 to replace carpeting. $35,000 has been included for decorative treatments for the streetscape in downtown Hershey. And we would like to replace power floor at the library. This was originally placed in the library in order for wiring for technology to be put underneath the floor so that it gave them the ability to move things around. And due to age, it's actually collapsing, and it's a risk for people tripping. You know, it's not sturdy anymore. They don't plan to actually replace it. They're going to fill in a portion of it, and they have received an estimate to do that for $55,000. The library also plans next year to redesign their tech services area, story time room, and teen area. This will cost $200,000, which we budgeted in the capital budget, but it will actually be refunded through Lestanis and Vanderwall bequest funds. It's our fiscal policy not to postpone needed capital expenditures in order to balance the budget because it creates a dilemma down the road. It just seems to grow and get bigger when you put it off. At this point, after covering both of the budgets, I'd like to give the department an opportunity to make any comments on anything that they would like to bring to the board's attention. And then we can open it up to questions and then review our options on how to finance the capital budget. Is there anyone that we just go down the line?
I'm going to find out too much to comment on, but I'd rather to any questions that the board would have in reference to our budget. We'll say a little bit about the reporting system that we want to replace, and I can answer more questions if you have them. It was a larger item for us, but it's something that is going to enable us to work more proficiently, keep officers out on the street, looking to reduce their response times to calls, which we don't have right now under the current reporting system. And then we find officers are coming back to the station to do all the reports, and it inhibits the ability to respond to calls quickly and keep them out on the street with them.
I guess ours is pretty straightforward. We'd like to replace this 20-year-old dump truck. I think that's pretty much a life expectancy of a vehicle, especially a large one, with what they go through between snow removal as well as paving operations and heat collection. So we'd be looking to replace one of those. And as far as the leaf picker goes, we had one in this year's budget. But when we did our interview with DEP regarding the grant award, it became evident that the grant award was not going to be coming out until late this year. And they suggested that if we were considering a second one, which we were for this year, that we apply for, and said we would apply, put them both in one application. So we're carrying it over this year's, along with this one for 19, and that grant has been approved. So that's a 90-10 match. DEP paying 90% of each one of them. I guess that would be all I have.
Our changes for next year are really just responding to how people utilize the library have changed. Most of our general operating stays the same in terms of how much we have cost, but we've moved money between funds because people are circulating more of a certain item or less of a certain item, and so we just need to respond to the trends in how people are using the library. As for the floor, I'm very grateful that you guys have been able to work with us in finding a way that we can address it, because it has become a real safety hazard, so thank you very much. And all of the improvements that we're making to the library next year, which will become quite extensive. Some of our, we're doing our circulation desk, and we were grant funded to do a new storeroom and side entrance, and all of that will be funded through grants for the library endowment, the endowment trust, or the two bequests that Jill mentioned in her opening. So there won't be any new monies associated with those projects. Just wanted to be clear on that. That's all I have.
Well, as the board knows, ours is a very unique budget this year, certainly more unique than previous 24 budgets that I've been involved with the department here. The recreation center will operate as normal January, February, and March. At the end of March, we'll be closing the doors of the recreation center, but with that, we still will be operating the park system, bicycle and pedestrian trail, our child care program that primarily operates out of the school district, as well as many of the special events that our department holds throughout the year as well. So obviously there are some costs in terms of staffing and operating those particular programs. One somewhat unfortunate part of this whole thing is that we've been working with our part-time staff is that we are laying off our part-time personnel for the 14-month construction period. We've been working with our part-timers for the last 8 months and really making sure that they understand their value and that they would have a first right of refusal for their positions when the new center would open up, just as a gesture of our appreciation for their service. And at least from what we're hearing, a lot of them are really excited to come back and be part of the operation and part of the team. The remaining five staff will be working extremely hard over those 14 months and making sure that we have an extremely vibrant programming lineup ready and ready to go when we open the doors, as well as all of our standard operating procedures, our manuals, safety procedures, and all the other things that go into operating the facility as this. I do want to note real quick that our child care program, the numbers that are included in the budget do include the expansion of the child care program that we've discussed over the past year, and as folks have expressed in the public meetings that they'd like to see part of the budget. So I'm happy to say that we were able to secure the additional square footage of the school district. And now I'm just kind of waiting for approval of the budget, and then we can advertise for those additional positions once those funds, if those funds are approved in the coming weeks with this budget. And lastly, just a couple increases in revenue that you see in the current budget for our department. When we first submitted these numbers back in August, we were still kind of massaging how the transition was going to go. Basically, without going through each line item, and I talked to Cheryl about this the other day, we're projecting about a $35,000 increase in the revenues that you see in the budget that is in front of you this evening, primarily in rental of facilities. We're going from $2,000 to $8,000 for those 3 months that we're going to be operating. Plaza memberships, it was a $0 amount in the initial numbers. We're projecting about $12,000 in revenue for memberships January, February, March. Daily fees is going up $1,000, and then our special events fees that we plan to run through the year was $0 in your current budget, and we're projecting about $13,000. So all in total, an additional $35,000. So that adjustment would be made as part of the final document. That's all I have.
That's the bad mic. Oh. It was acting up.
is there any money in the budget for microphones?
Are
they under warranty?
They are. We have the company out, I would say, five times. I mean, they keep their baffles. You can see the antenna. There's some kind of signal they put in the closet. They actually found a problem with one of the microphones that they're still working on and took a component out. Now, last night was the first time in weeks that we actually had some interference with microphone number 7.
Were they able to reproduce the sound that comes up, the paste sound that comes up?
He did finally find it, and he truly thought we solved the problem and found the microphone, but...
So as the board's aware, community development remains busy with Hershey West End project coming online and with the town center coming to a close and the Hershey Park expansion. We're projecting actually a 22% increase in revenues for next year. And that was projected prior to my annual audit of the Consumer Price Index as it relates to where we've set our permit fees. I'll be proposing later this year a permit fee increase of about 4 to 5%. I just went through the numbers today. In addition to the 22% increase in revenues, we're looking at a 3% decrease in expenditures. That's all I have to offer.
Just a note on the streetscape project improvements that Jill had mentioned. As you all remember, the streetscape 322 improvements and also the Stafford's Church Road culvert were all being funded through a Dauphin County Infrastructure Bank loan. And when we got bids in for all of those projects, they came in high, largely due to paving costs. So we're anticipating a final version of PennDOT's reimbursement agreement in the coming days or weeks, which should allow us to redistribute and take another look at our sources and uses of funding. But the figure that's included in the budget would essentially help to put back in some of the decorative treatments that we had planned just for the core area, recognizing we won't be able to do all of them, but if we're really focusing our attention in that Ridge to Linden block, that it would be nice to be able to address that. With the amount that is being proposed, we are going to be proposing in the Downtown Hershey Association budget a contribution to some of those improvements, so that is reflected in the revenues in the capital projects. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. And finally, it looks like we may have also included funds in here for the engineering for what we're referring to as Phase 2 streetscape. That is the largely represents the sidewalks and crosswalk improvements. We're actually notified of this funding almost a year ago now, and we're still awaiting a grant contract, federal funding that's passed through PennDOT, which goes to HATS. So I continue to try to keep tabs and look on when we might be receiving that. Our contribution would be those matching engineering dollars. Thank you.
Open it up for questions if you have anything to this point that has been brought up. Anything specific?
Given the abbreviated season for Parks and Rec, I was just wondering, I noticed a $55,000 increase in wages being anticipated for 2019. I was wondering if you could explain that bit.
Which wage line item were you talking about?
Page J6.
J6.
Second line item.
Yeah, so that is our bargaining unit employees that reflect the expansion of the child care program. So they would reflect the additional staff that we would need in the, to operate the program under our license.
And that is a revenue-neutral or profit-making?
It's a revenue-generating program.
That's what I was going to say. So that would be offset
by the income.
Revenue.
That is correct. Profit. That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look at the page 87, revenue for child care program is 460, expenses are 457.
Okay. Jill, big picture. Going to page 4, Roman 4. You mentioned balance budget achieved with property tax millage increase of 0.30 in 2019. And a 0.25 millage increase for 2020. And also financing, $321,118. Yes. Can you explain what the financing is for?
I can go ahead and move on to that. That's what I have under the capital budget options.
Excellent.
So we'll get to see that.
Good
segue. Thanks.
Yeah,
can I just ask a question before? From the police department, the workers' comp. Went up a lot. Any
reason? A couple of injuries, duty related injuries. One was at a SWAT training incident where they were doing some tactical ground fighting training, and there was an injury sustained in that. And then I believe there was another injury that was occurred out on patrol somewhere. Where there's an injury that required workers' comp. So hazards in the job.
Yeah, right.
A little bit physical.
Okay. Understood. I was just looking through some big numbers to see what some of the larger increases.
Yeah, hopefully we can reduce that this year.
Yeah. Great. Thanks for that explanation.
Correct. Just so that the members of the public can hear, it's clear in here, but there are no personnel impacts in this year's budget. We're not looking at cutting any staff.
No, I'm not looking at cutting any staff, we're just trying to keep things status quo in that relation.
Thank you. And before we say, wait, Tom, could I ask you a question? There's been a lot of interest in the paving of Bullfrog Valley Road. Can you just bring that out from the budget and tell us where that stands?
Well, I have proposals that I've got. The most recent one was late last year. As far as monetary ramifications of that, I'm not sure where they stand. It was my understanding they were tied into a borrowing. I don't know if that's still the case or not.
That is on the list that you sent out.
The biggest time I've been in a borrowing.
A borrowing versus.
In other words, it is on the list, but I think it's in that. It's being paid by liquid fuels, but it is in a borrowing.
It is included in the
right. Yeah, and the debt service is being paid. Yeah. city involved, so it is one of our.
Which in turn is reflected in this way.
Yeah.
That's great.
So it's all right.
It's my understanding the landfill, both Bullfrog and Sandhill, as well as the landfill work, the DEP's requiring others, are in the borrowing side.
Yes. We'll see that in a minute.
I actually have a quick question. Todd, do we have two of those X-Mark mowers on that we want to get for a point?
We have two.
Is it two?
Yeah,
okay.
There's two. One
are we getting those, and we're getting those through CoStars?
You have an X-Mark, and I have a walk contract.
Well, it says X-Mark warranty on it.
There are three.
Oh, we get three of them?
Two X marks go to Mass Budget, which is the one 60-inch zero turn X mark, and the other X mark, which is a tri deck. That 14,000 and whatever number was the lease payments, the yearly lease payments for both of those mowers for 3 years. The X mark that the Public Works Department is going to get out of their budget is a walk behind X mark. It's just a wider walk behind mower.
We're getting through CoStars?
State contract. Okay.
Is that the only brand that they sell, or that's available through them?
No, you can get anything off of state
contract. Yeah,
I mean, I just did a little research today that that's a pretty expensive brand.
Well,
is it like they're the platinum level type mower or something?
I actually need a good commercial mower. Our mowers get used every day, 8 hours a day, though. We had tap-down mowers that hold up. We have been using Ferris mowers, which are just as expensive. But these are commercial grade, and we do need heavy duty mowers. We'd like to try to get 5 years out of them. If we would get a lesser or cheaper mower, we would never get that kind of time out of a mower.
Right. The X marks and Ferris certainly are not, we refer to as being the Cadillac, that would be the Jacobsons and the Toros. They're substantially pricier than the X marks and the other manufacturers that you see used on a daily basis by the commercial guys. We used to have a 15 foot Toro mower, and I mean that was, we had got that many years ago, and it was pricey then, and it was even pricier to maintain. So we ratcheted back to some of the smaller mowers. They're making a lot of smaller machines now with wider area decks. So that's what we're sort of moving to.
So walk behind that. Okay.
Well, that's for it.
Yes.
Around all the trees.
Sure. All right. Thank you.
I noticed that you know about 280 acres of ground. Is that required?
Yeah. It's probably fair to say.
Do we ever do any study on how much it costs to mow an acre of ground?
We had, as prior was noted, that again, we reduced that by going away from, we actually had an insurance man show up one day to take pictures. He wanted to know what an $80,000 lawnmower looked like. That was many years ago, but we've gone away from those self-propelled 16-foot decks now and have gone to tow behind triplexes to mow those open areas, which has a substantially less investment than is a self-propelled mower. You have one that you can put on the back of the tractor full tow.
Matt, do you think there are self-sustaining alternatives for grass areas that we might be able to consider?
I think that would be something to work with more tomorrow.
Sort of maintenance type landscaping type things, repairing bumpers, obviously.
Well, you can always have the basic problem.
Okay. Yeah, we want to create something that ultimately ends up requiring more maintenance than it does. It's not my wheelhouse. So.
So, but it goes, so it's 280 acres approximately, huh?
That's, as I recall, last go-round or last count, that's about it.
Yeah. And I'm not really making any point here. I'm not saying we mow too much or we don't mow enough, but I'm just curious, how do you decide what to mow and what not to mow? Like, how did that sort of come about over the years?
Well, Shade Park's always been relatively manicured, as have all of them, I guess. We put in a 20-acre park, it's probably a fair bet that the keynote's going to be that required mowing. And the other thing that plays into that is we can't, yeah, there are places that maybe we don't mow every week, but we need to be cautious too. I mean, we have children out there on athletic fields. We don't want 3-foot grass 30 feet off the athletic field that they're playing in, and next thing you know, we have ticks and everything that goes along with that in this day and age, lion disease and what have you.
So there's a lot of considerations. See, I think all this I noticed many years ago when Milton Hershey made a conscious effort to mow less grass, and that was kind of
school.
Yeah. I know it very well. But when Milton Hershey School, I think years ago, made a conscious effort. It was probably 15 years ago.
Yes.
There was a noticeable change in the amount of grass that they decided to develop over here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was just curious.
And it's my impression that the main side of the downtown is substantially, now that those natural areas are more established.
Sarge, are you satisfied your department has done everything possible to be as cost effective and efficient, monetarily efficient as possible without compromising public safety? I know I get a lot of inquiries about whether we have too many police officers on the force, whether or not the department's being operated in a cost-efficient manner to maximize efficiencies. That's not my purview. I have no clue as to what your operational needs are on boots on the ground. I think I know the answer, but we do get a lot of pressure, a lot of inquiries, given the pro-rata share, the police department shares in our township's expenditures.
We're always looking for ways to increase revenues and decrease expenditures. One of the areas that's kind of nagged us for the past, I'd say probably 3 to 4 years, is our reimbursement for UI1 testing, which is in the court's purview, in Commonwealth Court, for the county, as far as getting those reimbursements out to departments. This year we saw no reimbursement. The previous year we might have seen a couple $1,000s. I think right now we're over $100,000 that we spent in blood testing for DUIs. So it was something that I discussed with the DA's office as little ago as a couple weeks ago, because we're not the only department that's in that state. All the rest of the departments are the same. So that's something that is on our radar that we're trying to get those reimbursements coming into the departments to reimburse for those blood test expenditures. Obviously, that would help out a lot, giving some of our revenue back for those blood tests. As far as allocation of manpower and how we're utilizing our personnel, it's been relatively the same for the past 7 years. I would venture to say if we did a manpower assessment study, we would probably be severely behind the eight ball as far as what we need to police this area. We have people come in all the time because of the area that we're in, that are from federal agencies, state agencies that we assist while we're in the area and so forth, and they are absolutely amazed that we are able to do what we do with the little manpower that we have. So
what's the driving factor in that? Why do we need so much manpower? Is it the influx of visitors to the county?
It's a multitude of things. I mean, you look at your residential population. Right now, I think if you just go with a base model as far as officers per capita, as far as population, I think the recommended amount right now is somewhere around 1.5 to 1.75 officers per 1,000 people. And then you look at the amount of people that we have that are in as far as working, so that adds to your population. I'd have to look at some of the current figures as far as that, but really they say if you want a genuine picture of what you need for policing, it is to take either the IACP, International Association of Chiefs of Police, or the PERF model, and actually do a workload assessment, population assessment, work force assessment, and put all those things together and get what you need as far as your staffing. We have to run a four patrol platoon, we have another platoon that offsets any vacations, sick leave, and so forth. Run with a class of detectives on top of that. So, people will probably be interested, they probably be kind of astonished sometimes, but our minimum manpower from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. is 4. Our minimum manpower from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. is 3. So, you're talking 26,000 people plus your workforce, plus your tourism, all those things put together, your transient traffic, and so sometimes you're working with 4 or 5 officers on the street. So I think we do a very good job. We have hardworking officers that do a lot of work, and they keep a lid on things as best they can. Obviously, I'm a little concerned at some points with the West End project, different things that are going on, bringing more people in and so forth. When is that going to start taxing us even further? So, things we look at.
I certainly don't want to insinuate that our department is not doing a stellar job. In fact, our department not against any in the state region. I just was, it's a perennial issue,
yep.
Considering the $7.5 million expenditure allocation.
Yep.
But I appreciate your insight to that. Thank you.
And those are great questions, Mark. They really are, because I know for years I've been thinking to myself, how much extra policing do we need because of this or because of that? Because we are a little bit of a unique community that way. So those are really interesting questions, and I'll be surprised if you get more questions like that. Just not because we're questioning whether it's more just kind of understanding it, because you get asked a lot.
And I think looking at the possibility of performing one of those studies in the future would probably put a lot of those questions to rest and probably make people realize that we're doing a lot with very little. So.
Yeah. It helps us. We always talk about the global relationship we have with some of the larger entities, and it would always help. It would help it. We all, and the only way to really sort of quantify that relationship is with more information, whether it's from the police department or tech or from Chuck, is to really understand all the different items that make up that relationship. And obviously, policing is one of them. So, thanks.
Kirk, you mentioned doing another study. Is that in the works?
It's not in the works.
I assume it costs money to do that.
Yeah, it would cost a little bit of money to do that. I know Grand Rapids, I just read, they're doing a manpower assessment study I think that is running from somewhere around $99,000. If you have an entire assessment study,
that's solely.
So, yeah, it depends who you get in to do it and what you're looking at and how much time it's going to take.
You think is that when they do the study, is that for the, I guess it's done with the numbers that are in existence at that moment? I wonder if there's, is there a way they can give you projections, say, using our township as an example?
Yeah, they, I mean, they can project as far as, you know, things that are going to be happening in the next 5 years, as far as development and things like that, that are going to bring in more people. They can also take a look at your call volumes from year to year. I was looking at some numbers with our CADs, or computer aided dispatch numbers. I think it looks like we're projecting to get about 3,000 calls from last year. So it's things that they can look at. They can kind of project that a little bit as well.
And I guess we should be preparing for maybe 20.
Well, taking that one step further is always the question by the public of are the new hotels we bring in and new development and the entities paying their fair share? Or are we letting all of our non-residents? I don't know if that's a question for you to answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you have to take a look at each entity. We always talk about the entertainment fee that HMR is always negotiating with us and increasing. They do pay some. You take a look at another entity, they may not pay very much. So it all depends. I know we have some entities that are generating a lot of work for us, and I'm not sure. I'd have to defer to the people that actually collect the monies and so forth. But they generate a lot of business for us. I'm not sure exactly how much they're paying.
You just catch the bad guys, right, guys?
What's that?
you just catch the bad guys.
That's what we try to do.
That's right.
Just make everything safe.
A few years ago, overtime, police overtime is a big topic. Are you comfortable with the level of overtime right now?
No. And actually, we've been discussing this. There are some other departments in the area that have been able to reduce their overtime in the local courts by having assigned court officers for some hearings and some misdemeanor felony preliminary hearings at the local court. They basically assign an officer over there. If it's something that can be handled at the local court by that officer, either through a plea agreement, a reduction in fine or something like that, where they can work out a deal, the officer who may have written a ticket or may have made the arrest and is on days off would not be to be there. That's something we've been in discussions with our local magistrate. We haven't gotten to that point, but I think if we would be able to have a court officer that is on duty instead of paying overtime, I think we could really reduce the overtime cost.
And one other question, we talked about software. Is the new software we're buying compatible with the county software and communications?
So, yeah, right now, the RMS software that we have, which is called NSYNC, we do not have any compatibility with our CAD system. So none of the information that is in our CAD system right now is transferred over to our reporting system. The officers have to re-enter that information and all on their own, so it's a duplication of effort. The new system, the code system, has worked with Intergraph before in other settings, and we'll be able to link in with our dispatch CAD and pull that information over into reporting. And right now there's a project going on between Dauphin and Cumberland counties that basically no matter what RMS system, reporting system that you're working through, we're going to be able to upload information into this information sharing hub and share information between Dolphin and Cumberland counties. So all departments will be able to share information, and then eventually that will branch out to other counties that also have this information sharing hub that will be able to get information from Lancaster County, Berks County, Bucks County, Chester County, some other counties that have the same information sharing hub will be able to share some information statewide.
So the efficiency of the new system will probably pay for itself.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the main things it's going to pay for itself is the time that it takes our officers out. First day shift, an officer might generate 3, 4, 5 reports at staggered times throughout that shift, and that's each officer. So if they're coming back 3, 4, 5 times to the station to complete a half hour, 45 minute report, and then have to go back out into their zone, that is taking them off the street. They're not in their zone, they're not patrolling, they're not even sitting there doing a report and being able to respond within a minute to a call instead of 5 minutes from the station. So that cost saving of not having them go back and forth between the station is going to be immensely helpful.
Right. I just had a conversation with you, Chris, about this, and I was wondering if you wanted to share those for the benefit about your experience with that system.
For me personally, the CODI system is something that I'm very familiar with. I think the county utilizes it for most of its departments, and I expressed to the chief, I'm in full support of it. It's a very unique system, and it will certainly improve officer efficiency in the field. Improving the communication aspect between the county and the township, I think, is extremely critical when you're dealing with this type of information. For me personally, I think, officer response time is probably the most important aspect. The chief just mentioned that, having them have to come back to the station, fill out reports, it takes them off the road, gets them out of the zone. It's more important for them to be in the field, able to respond to calls they come in. So the CODI system allows that to happen, and I think I'm not overly familiar with Dauphin County yet, but I would imagine that, if we would reach out and look at all the other communities in Dauphin County, the CODI system is probably utilized in other places.
Yeah, right now I think we're going to be the second one. Just really short, just to give you a little background. Years ago, there was a 3-year study done. They looked at 5 vendors. And after this 3-year study was done, CODI was the top performer. Unfortunately, some hands got in the pot, so they were, and they ended up choosing another vendor that was half the cost. Fortunately, we're paying for that now. Every department went to that other system, the incident system, and now multiple departments are looking at getting out of it. Harrisburg City is looking at transferring over to CODI. There was one other department that has already begun the process. So there are departments that realize that in the long run we should have probably gone with another system, this CODI system, and would have been a cost savings in the long run.
I also think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think they're located in Pottstown.
They're somewhere around there.
So it's reasonably close. If there's a problem with the system, they're able to respond rather quickly and provide IT support. So, over the years that I've been involved with different municipalities, the CODI system's been in place in pretty much all of them, and it's been very successful. So, I can vouch for that aspect of it.
I think there were in around 40 or 41 years in business with their reporting system.
Clark, are you able to put a dollar figure on the amount of overtime for 2018 for the year department?
Not right off. Do
any other departments spend overtime?
Yes,
2018. Not police departments. Township. Anybody?
Yeah, we would.
I'm not sure. How much overtime you get for
that? I don't know off the top of my head. Just snowstorms.
Okay. Snowstorms
would be pretty much it.
Okay. Anyone else?
Mine's very minimal.
I'm sorry?
Mine's very minimal, just snow-related items or emergencies at the center.
I've overtime budgeted for Mick and Darren and for Janelle and Michelle.
For what purpose?
Janelle covers a lot of meetings, types up a lot of meeting minutes and notes and so on. Mick and Darren, we do have expedited permits that we sometimes offer with an additional fee. And what I tell the guys is, you know, if they want to work overtime to get that done, it's covered in the fee. And none of them use much of the overtime except for Janelle, who ends up at a lot of meetings.
So it's a revenue neutral thing for your department, pretty much on the expedited permitting?
It keeps my department at the number of employees that I would need another person if I didn't have Janelle working overtime.
Okay.
Well, you're on the hot seat here. I want to congratulate your department for being one great season every year. But when I look at the pie charts, your revenue is about, or the revenue for permits and fees is about 2% of the income.
For the township?
Yeah, that's for the township. But the expenditures for your department are about 4%. When you look at the pie charts that we have in front of us,
it's kind of hard to defend a pie chart.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of data there.
I realize that because there's other listings, but I imagine there's other places on that pie chart that your department collects fees from.
What page are you looking for?
That's kind of interesting, though. Is it if it's a balanced budget, how would your revenues be 2% and your expenses be 4% of the budget? And
to the whole. Community development under expenditures is 4%, yes. Community development, though, isn't listed by itself under revenues. I mean, I guess you're looking at license and permits, which is $362,000. Right? But I think that our... that's the only problem with going paperless with these things, is getting back and forth between the...
Yeah.
Between the papers. Give it for now.
So I understand that you're almost at break even, are you not?
Mm-hmm.
You're 788 revenue and 806 expenses. That's why I say, how could the pie chart, something must be off there.
Well, the pie chart doesn't just list community development under the revenues.
Okay.
It lists community development under expenditures, but under revenues, it lists permits and licenses, but then the rest of our revenues are mixed in somewhere else.
Yeah.
Probably the charges and services thing.
Like, could be.
Thank you. Okay. Jill, question for you. I noticed Dalton Parks have been saving on electric. Their electric rate, or electric budgets are down. So we're saving electricity somewhere.
Yeah, they electric rates have been reducing in general over the last several years. And now that we have the solar panels, there's some savings there too also. There's also some fees for those solar panels. We haven't done an actual comparison and evaluation of that, but we should probably do that in 19. Exactly where we are.
Well, I noticed that there's some money in the budget for rooftop units. Rooftop units, and I thought the rooftop units were going to be maintained by the contract we had with the solar company.
Yeah, Yes, and the work that was part of that contract was completed. That was for two of the RTU units, right? That was the police, and then, yes, here, this building. So that has been completed already.
The these units, these rooftop units are different units than the ones we had in repair.
Exactly, and actually, now that you pointed that out, that is truly where the savings did come in because they funded those projects for us.
Anyone else have any questions before we move on?
Well, I just wanted to acknowledge and thank the staff because the budgets that they submit are not wish lists. They're very realistic. They're not, you know, just things that they would like to have. They really do a responsible budget and submit what is more so needed. It's not as easy for us then to cut things because they're not, you know, having it or doing anything with it, but they put a lot of effort into it. So I'd like to thank them and to thank the board for having PFM in here to help us look at the big picture of our finances also. I did not actually include the breakout of the funds for the remediation for the landfill and Bullfrog Valley and Sandhill Road.
That's part of the borrowing for the bond. Right. It's my understanding there were two borrowings, one for the community center and then one for the landfill and Bullfrog Valley combined. The landfill was being budgeted and paid for through capital projects, but Bullfrog Valley and Sandhill do not appear in capital projects. They are in the liquid fuels budget because that's where the debt service will be coming from.
It's a separate fund, but it is being planned for.
I don't know if we've had much public discussion on the landfill thing. Just brief thumbnail explanation.
I can give you very, very brief. I'm not sure if someone else might know, but we have remediation that we have to do that is required by DEP, and it is over $900,000. Am I correct? That needs to be completed.
Yes, I can address that. DEP has required us to recap the landfill, regrade the landfill, so that we're not dealing with leachate. Currently we have depressions and undulations at the top of the landfill. And as the rainfall lands on it and the leachate sprinkler system pumps leachate back up to the top and out the irrigation field, the water's ponding, of course, saturating through the landfill. Again, it's just one vicious cycle of leachate. So the department's requiring us to recap that and to be graded so that all we'll be dealing with, hopefully, in their assessment, will be stormwater. Now, and we're doing everything we can to keep that cost down on both of these projects. The estimate that we have from ARM says that it's going to take about 140,000 yards of fill dirt and topsoil to do that. We've been running around to every job site within about a 10-mile radius here, beg, borrowing, and stealing soil or fill anywhere we can. Currently, we have about, I'm going to say about 15,000 of that 130 or 40,000 out there. The figure that you're looking at for the landfill includes purchasing that material. So I've been working with the bar over at the Med Center to try and get what I can out of there. York Excavating down at the factory and just many other jobs. We've gotten dirt as far away as back here at the Sheets on Jonestown Road that they hauled in for us. So we're doing everything we can to keep the numbers down on that by acquiring the fill ourselves. Now on to Sandhill and Bullfrog.
Tom, can I ask you a couple questions? Just so good, we're putting that on the record, and I think it would be helpful for if somebody's listening to the record, they have a whole explanation. When was the landfill closed last?
The landfill was closed, ceased operation.
I'm about to say, because DEP's view of closure is completely different than mine.
Yeah.
Or anybody in this room.
We've learned. Yeah, right.
The landfill ceased operation in about 86.
Okay. And then we tapped it, right, at some point after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then all was quiet, and we thought it was done, right?
Well, it never had what they classify as final closure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sad. I mean, that site was not functioning when I walked through the door here.
Yeah.
And we mowed it for many years. We took it off of our routine mowing, and we found a farmer to harvest hay off of it, so we weren't spending time out there mowing.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's been a deer farm.
Yeah.
Until 3 years ago, when DEP walked through the door and decided they didn't like this, they didn't like that. Oh, by the way, you need to recap this whole thing, all 32 acres of it.
Right. So, and do I understand correctly, a couple of us attended a meeting with you at DEP, and it's understand that there's a report, they're looking for a closure report that we hope to get to them by the middle of December.
Correct.
And that this expense that we're looking at now represents the first part of that closure actions. And it's possible that there could be more closure actions after that in years to come. That this will not solve everything, but we don't know what it will solve. And so that this is the first measures that we're taking. So that's kind of accurate.
That's ultimately sort of
placating
their concern.
Yeah, kind of with the DDP, but also to see how successful these actions are, to see what needs to be done next. But that will all be contained in sort of an if-then document that will be completed in different in mid-December.
And it keeps, there's no arguing, it keeps snowballing. I mean, at the first or second visit, we should do something about a couple of these ponds, and that morphed into we're capping the whole landfill. We've had no problems as far as leachate leaving the site into the tributary that runs by the landfill. There's a small unnamed tributary that runs to the north side of the landfill that empties into the Swinair. There's been nothing. No contaminants found in that tributary nor in the Swinair. But it's snowballing into, as you heard the last time, maybe we need new ponds here and new wells there. Every day it's something different.
Yeah.
So I'm sure whatever we've been able to save by finding 20,000 yards of dirt is going to be chewed up by drilling six more wells to make sure that nothing's leaving the site.
But coming from that meeting, I felt extremely confident that we have the right people working for us.
Absolutely.
That the ARM group is sharp. They know the people very first name basis with all of the representatives, and we definitely have the best group working with us. That was the feeling I had.
And then as far as Sandhill and Bullfrog go, if the payment of that loan is going to be coming out of liquid fuels, I reevaluate what I'm doing to those, what I'm doing to those roads. My original intent was to do full depth reclamation on both of them, which will stabilize the subsurface underneath the road. Bullfrog definitely needs that. Well, the 2011 flood destroyed the surface, subsurface, everything. I think Sandhill Road can easily be gotten, can easily be repaired by doing a cold-in-place recycle on that, and that will save a substantial amount of money and improve the road, thereby reducing the amount that's leaving liquid fuels to pay for that, and that would keep us moving paving wise as well, and salt wise and what have you, as we go through future seasons.
Do you think liquid fuel will be sufficient to cover both projects?
Liquid fuel.
Good answer.
Well, if we're paying the payment on that loan out of liquid fuel.
Right.
I mean, that's not ideal. Yeah. What I would consider to be ideal. But I guess I...
Is that because that would that impede your ability to do other projects?
It was $100,000. Let's just say, given the price that we're sitting on now for those two roads, that would be about $100,000 a year out of that. Yeah, that would impede our ability to do other roads. Depending on the winter, could impede our ability to buy salt.
But there's nothing that would preclude us from not paying that with liquid fuels in the future. Is that right?
Say that again?
That would not preclude us from not using liquid fuels in the future to pay that debt service.
Correct.
In other words, that's a policy decision that the board can make in the future, right?
The only thing, and just to elaborate even more, that can all be paid out of liquid fuels. There's a small portion of that project, and it would be specific to Bullfrog, that can't be paid out of liquid fuels. And that would be the full depth reclamation. Because of the subsurface of that road, instead of asphalting washing, I want to use Portland in it. And while that's not approved by PennDOT, it absolutely is a good process to use on that road given its condition. So we could pay it all out of liquid fuels except for that small $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 that will be the Portland that goes into Bullfrog.
PFM Mark Matheson has reviewed everything and they have provided us with some options. One of the options is to finance some of the capital projects. And listed in this pie chart here is the breakdown, $321,118 is supposed to be financed, which would be 32% of those needs. And those are the items that I said are long-term that we're going to have for a while. The software, the radios, the car video system, you know, the electronic type things, the floor, the power floor, and the streetscape. So the amount, the payment for that financing was included in the capital budget. Our total budgeted revenues are $3,115,901, and the expenditure under this option are $3,071,957, which leaves us in a good place with a surplus of $43,943. Included in this option is a tax increase of 0.30 and tax millage increase in 2019, and then a 0.25 mil increase to be considered in 2020. When we look at that option, and well, maybe I'm going ahead, I'll show you that in the next page, but financing $321,118 is proposed for 2019. The annual payments would be $7,769. And if we take this option, it allows us to spend over $1 million on capital projects to improve the township and to provide the equipment that the department needs without making any serious cuts to anything else. It will also allow us to continue to grow the general fund balance, which we have a goal of $4 million that we're trying to reach. So we really don't have to transfer money from the general fund reserve to the capital fund to eliminate a deficit for projects. And when we take this option, it actually eliminates a deficit clear out to 2026. So it's not just an immediate fix for this year and or for 19 and 20. It really, really helps us out for a little longer term. We currently have a relatively stable bond rating by Standard & Poor's, and the general fund balance at the end of this year is anticipated to be $2,866,955. So you can see over the past few years, this amount really is growing because there was a time when we were relying more heavily on the reserve. This actually is the chart that PSM provided to us showing what the 0.30 increase is in 2019. Right here you see where the increase is, and these are all of our expenses and revenue, and right here really shows you the outcome of if we do that. 2019 would be the surplus. 2020, we would implement the 0.25 increase. We would also have a surplus. And as we keep going, the picture actually looks better as some of our expenditures reduce. It would generate, in 2019, that millage increase an additional $621,995 and result in a 2.28 real estate tax millage for general operations and capital projects together. And then in 2020, it would create an additional $510,517 and the total millage would be 2.481 in 2020. I can go over the other options that PSM provided, or I can show you a comparison of what this tax increases to other municipalities.
Could you please go back one slide? So just to be clear, those two tax increases are reflected at the bottom.
Yes, right here.
Right here.
And then here.
And then the surplus deficit line, the blue.
Yes.
So looking across, so that goes out through to 2026. And really, there's huge projected surpluses going out starting in 2023 based on these projections.
Yeah.
Assuming we have no unanticipated expenses and unforeseen circumstances.
Yeah, and the possibility of maybe unexpected revenue that may be generated with some of the new development that we really couldn't put a strong figure on.
Right. Or recession, perhaps.
Not for that government actually say this, but if that would actually happen in 2023, I think it would be a pretty large outcry for a tax decrease.
I think so. Would you like me to still focus more on the tax increase or to show you the other options? So I can go through the options if you want. Okay. The other option that they had proposed was for next year to have a 0.432 mil increase and not fund any of the capital projects. But this would actually result in a deficit for us 2020 through 2022. And here actually, they're getting smaller with each chart, it seems. But right here would be the increase, and you can see in 19 we're to the good, but not by very much. And then actually in 2020 you can see that's a substantial deficit, and then it just grows every single year too, rather than having that.
But the surplus actually does, we do experience that in surplus in 2023, if I'm not mistaken. So it's just,
oh right, I'm sorry, there were the 3 years and then the surplus,
right.
Yeah. But. That was fund option two. And then they have presented option 3A, a $0.192 million increase for 3 years in a row. That would finance the capital projects, and they would have us transfer $176,600 from the general fund in 2019. And this would result in a deficit in 20 through 22. Right here, the increase for 3 years. 19, we would be balanced. Deficit in 20. And then we have that going out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't read. That's 0.1.
192. 0.192 mil increase for 3 years. No capital projects financed. And transferring $489,949 from the general fund to balance the capital budget, but it would result in a deficit in 2020 and 21.
When would that transfer occur next year?
Definitely for 19.
Yes. Anchor the reserve. Yeah. So we're suggesting how.
$1 million.
Yeah. Actually, there would be a deficit in 19 without the transfer, and then you would probably have to transfer again in 20 and 21 to balance the budget.
It took a while to get that reserve built up. And
And you know, that reserve is very helpful in your bond rating also.
Yeah, so we report, just for the record, we report to bond rating agencies that our goal is $4 million of reserve, and we're at 2.8.
2.8. And just for comparison purposes, these are the tax rates in Dauphin County. This is a current rate for 2018. I did put what our proposed increase would be for next year so you could compare and see. But I just wanted to point out that when you look at similar sized municipalities like Lower Paxton, well, Lower Paxton County is bigger than us, but I think their services are more equivalent than some of the smaller ones. Lower Slatera Township and Susquehanna and Slatera Township, you know, we're still lower than them.
So does that reflect the 1% income tax that we have that the other types of taxes our residents?
No, this is strictly real estate.
Just real estate. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. And then I thought it was kind of helpful. Well, moving ahead here myself. This increase to show you really dollar-wise what it would do, but the 0.3 mil increase would cost $30. For $100,000 in assessed value. For 2020, the 0.25 mil increase would cost an additional $25 per $100,000. Then, of course, if you add the total increase, it would be $55 a year per $100,000 of assessed value. And I'm also providing the real estate tax history here so you can get an idea of really what we have done in the past. The 1.249, I only went back to 1990 for the general fund, but the capital project real estate tax started in 1990 at 0.19, total millage of 1.439. But you can see, you know, through the years, the gradual increases. The first one in the general fund wasn't until 2002. And then you could see they were smaller increases gradually in the capital project. And one of the things that I really wanted to point out was in bold on the right there. During those years, I have down here real estate taxes were lowered from 2002 to 2018 than they were prior. And that's the result of the Dauphin County reassessment. But when that occurred, We actually reduced taxes so that we were revenue neutral, and we did not take advantage of it and make any additional revenue on it. You know, so Justin, as you had said, when you look out further in 2026 and you do see that we're in a better position, you know, we could take a look at that, along with as we continue to look for other reductions in areas. That really concludes what I had to present tonight. If we can take any more questions from you or explain anything further.
I would love to have a copy of your presentation here if you don't mind.
I wrote that down.
Just electronically. That would be helpful.
We can talk about how to put that out on the website so people can review it. It's kind of self-explanatory. I think it would really help people to see tax history and comparisons. I think a lot of people will not be always assumed that your taxes are higher than your neighbors, but it's interesting to be able to look and really compare. So.
I'm just incredibly impressed that we're looking 5 years into the future. I wish other government agencies would do that instead of just the next election cycle. So it's a great job from the whole staff and everyone involved.
Yeah, this has really been quite the effort this year, maybe even more in the past. But working with PFM, I think hopefully it makes us a little comfortable about where we are, and not only where we are, but where we're headed, which is exciting to be able to have that kind of knowledge and planning. So thanks to everybody who had a part in this.
And thanks to Cheryl and Carrie for their guidance and all of the initial
process. Yeah. Their favorite time of year, right?
I've heard so many questions over the last few weeks, and I got to the point where I asked for the same question twice.
Budget rock stars.
Yeah, I mean, really, the work you two have put in is ridiculous.
Yeah, thank you.
And happy birthday to Chuck. Spending my house tonight.
And despite my cough, I actually feel fine. So despite my cough, I actually feel fine.
All right. Any other questions?
When do we decide on which option to take? I just saw four of them.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention too, the budget went on display today. I was able to get that in the newspaper tomorrow that it is available to meet the advertising requirements. We have to have it on display 20 days, and the next board meeting, December 18th, is the 20th day. So if we're ready to do it then, or we will have to hold a special meeting.
Does it have to be 20 full days? In other words, if it's on the 20th day, it's 19 and a half on notice.
I'm saying no because it's not specified that. Look at that.
But just to be clear, we can change the budget.
You can change the budget within, it's a pretty big percentage of that.
Yeah.
20%.
So we could go with any of these options. But you published the first option, is that right?
We put it on display, it's on the website, it's the library, and it's here on the display.
Okay. I don't want to rush out the notice requirement itself. I don't want to be accused of not getting it. You know what I'm saying? You know, whether the 20th day versus the 21st day, maybe we ask John whether we can have it on that day, on the 20th day, and then be in compliance with the advertising requirements.
You would think it would be 20 full days and the meetings at night, so, you know.
Working days. Mm-hmm. To the budget, so if we're working days, it would be much longer.
I mean, close business for 20 calendar days, we'd be in violation of that because the 20th day would not be a full calendar day. It would have to be the soonest we could vote on this would be the 21st day.
And it would be in relation to the close of business because obviously nobody can come in at midnight to look at the budget, so they'd have to be here during the business hours from 8 to 5. So, I guess I would agree with that.
Right. So,
John. Yeah, he's good with that. Multiple days, 20 a day.
Yeah. Not that we want to be incorrect, but especially with the holiday season, no offense, guys, but I'd like to do that on the 20th, on the meeting on the 18th, right, if we can.
If we can, no, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's ultimately when we'll be voted on, when the option will be voted on, is that right? Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Any other questions from members of the board? All right, well, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So those moved by Mr. Engel, seconded by Mr. Rubel, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And this meeting is adjourned.